Carolina Journal is your source for daily news and commentary in North Carolina covering politics and public policy. A project of the John Locke Foundation, Carolina Journal is a pioneer in nonprofit and investigative journalism. Our work has exposed corruption, conflicts of interest, and misuse of public funds by public officials, including members of Congress and members of the North Carolina General Assembly. In season two of Extreme Injustice, North Carolina students and their families made life-changing sacrifices after state policies shuttered public schools across the state. Our deep dive into the unintended consequences of COVID lockdowns show the desperate need for new thinking in public education. Judge Howard Manning was the trial judge appointed to handle the Leandro case in 1997. He presided over the case until 2016 when he retired for medical reasons. Since then, Judge Manning has kept up with developments in the ongoing litigation. He recently sat down with me in his home in Raleigh to discuss a range of issues relating to Leandro. In this final episode, Judge Manning talks about the importance of reading efficiency by third grade and how the Leandro case is more about a breakdown in classroom instruction than anything else. Now Judge Manning talks about the importance of ensuring that students are reading proficiently by grade three.
So if you're going to spend the money, in my book, you spend the money where it will do the most good, and that is teaching the children how to read. And that should be done by the third grade. And I filed a report with the, pick that thing up with the rubber band around it. Just the paper. That's called the reading problem. I did that in 2014 while I was in Durham and had the time. And I put all that together and I found three things. One, based on all the evidence, there's no excuse for a child getting to the end of the third grade and not being able to read. And I will not budge. And the record shows it. Then I went back and looked at the individual elementary school reading scores. And I called out Durham, Winston, Guilford, because they had elementary schools where the children were not reading. And when you think about 300 children in the third grade at Fayetteville Street Elementary School in Durham, and only 4 out of 10 can read in the third grade, in the fourth grade. And then you look at the amount of money we spend on each child in that school. It's called ADM money. And then I multiplied that out by the number of children that couldn't read by $7,500. And you're looking at, $800,000 or $900,000 that you spent money for these children to learn who haven't learned a damn thing. They haven't learned anything. If this was GM or Ford or IBM or Apple, they would shut every one of these schools down because they're not producing. And that really made me angry. And I'm still angry about it. Because in my book, it's a failure of classroom instruction. The money is not the point. They get plenty of money. One, people don't realize about the public schools in North Carolina is that every teacher is paid the same thing by the state. The state pays the salaries. So if you're teaching algebra in Mitchell County and you're a first-year teacher, and you're teaching algebra in Hertford County, your pay is going to be the same except for the local supplement, which may be $500 and we pay $7,500. But other than the local supplement, everybody gets paid the same thing. So they've decided it's a lack of classroom instruction, pure and simple. One, there's no reason a child should not be able to read at grade level by the third grade, end of the third grade. And if they don't read, they're not going to succeed. And you go up the line and you see these terrible scores all the way through. And I got the superintendent's March report. Of the good things are that Senator Berger has passed two acts passed called the Excellent Schools Act. And then the last one that came this year and is in play. It's been spent, it's $70, $80 million, but every daggone teacher in grade up through grades three or maybe farther up has to take this course, which guess what, gentlemen, is phonics. And like the News Observer wrote a big editorial and said, poo on phonics. You're not supposed to teach phonics. Well, hell, they're teaching phonics in Mississippi. In Mississippi, it's always the worst. Are doing so much better with their children reading. So this is called Letters. It's an acronym. It's the science of reading is what it is, and it's teaching phonics. Now, I got this from her report, which I read yesterday. For every 100 students in North Carolina, only 31 out of 100 earn a degree or credentials, which would be the community college, in 6 years of after graduation. They don't read. They can't get out of high school. They're not educated when they come out of high school. And it's because they're not reading. Now we take the ACT, and I'm going to finish it up.
Now Judge Manning discusses the Read to Achieve law and current efforts to improve reading proficiency by third grade.
Extreme Injustice, an investigative project of Carolina Journal, is produced by the John Locke Foundation. For three decades, Locke has served as an independent, nonprofit think tank that works for truth, freedom, and the future of North Carolina. Locke envisions a strong North Carolina committed to individual freedom, personal responsibility, and limited constitutional government. To support our work, please visit johnlocke.org. Carolina Journal is your source for news and commentary covering politics and public policy. As a project of the John Locke Foundation, Carolina Journal is a pioneer in nonprofit investigative journalism. Our work has exposed corruption, conflicts of interest, and misuse of taxpayer funds by public officials, including members of Congress and the state legislature. Visit carolinajournal.com to learn more.
Because I'm going to bring you up to date. In 2011, when the Republicans took over and Bass Knight left, every year we would sit down, the two of us would sit down and have a list of things that I thought Leandro needed, you know, we needed more of this and more of that. And then they would call me up from the office, the staff would call me up and say, Judge Manning, they want to drop physics and American history and LE civics. They're tired of end of course tests because it makes their schools look bad. So some female middle school principal from Charlotte got elected to the House. A teacher of history from somewhere up in the mountains who was on probation because his American history students couldn't pass the U.S. history test, end of course test. They got together and prepared a bill which did away with every test in our system, did away with the results for every test in our system, end of grade or end of course test, that was not required by the federal government. So that left high school naked. They only had to test in biology and English and algebra. So history, civics, LE, all this stuff, all the other courses, there are no tests. So you're flying blind because you don't know. Now, the end of grade tests, they had to do those. They couldn't get away with that. But they had to, and the course tests, if it wasn't required, you didn't have to report it. I wrote a 22-page memo to Tillis and Senator Berger about this when it happened, at the request of the staff. Said, please tell us, is this okay? And I said, hell no, it's not okay. It's a violation of the very courses that are sitting there in the Leandro decision. You're no longer requiring to be tested. That went over like throwing up in a punch bowl. So I became enemy number one at the legislature. How does a judge tell us what to do? And by the way, Burley Mitchell and Bob Orr, who wrote the two appellate decisions, concurred with me on the whole report, and I put that in there. But because if you don't know what they're doing, that teacher can hide. So how do you get rid of, how do you know they're doing a bad job? Well, the legislators, two or three of them came to me, wanted to meet, and said, we want to get rid of bad teachers. I said, how in the hell are you going to get rid of a bad teacher if you don't know what their damn output is? Said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So that year, they put in the ACT test. It's given three times in high school. I think eighth grade, maybe ninth, and the 11th, everybody takes them. So the ACT benchmark, which is what they talk about, is basically, in my book, that you have obtained a sound basic education. Because if you go to college, then you have met the requirement of Leandro. You go back and see what Burley Mitchell wrote to compete with others in the 21st century. So they put that in. Now, there's a little document that nobody really knows about called the Internal Review. It's about 7 pages. And it has every score statewide, disaggregated by race, in every subject, plus the ACT. Well, gentlemen, this week, I have them all from 2013 to 2024 to 2021. They did not do it in 2020 because of COVID. And I took off the foreign data for each year. There are two labels that you'll see in there. One is called CCR, or College and Career Ready, which is what Leandro requires. The other one, my friends, is called GLP. Now, what they did when they started failing the reading so bad, after Berger put in the Excellent Schools Act in 2011 and 12, they got all upset. So they created a new, what they call grade level performance, which is not Leandro grade level. This is what they tell the public they're doing. They drop the scores about 10%. So if you look at this, one of this internal report, and you'll see GLP and CCR. CCR is College Career Ready. That's the real Leandro 3. GLP is this manufactured score, and I blew them out about it in open court on 3 or 4 occasions, and they kept talking about, well, you know, we're just going to give them a little pass, you know, a little 10%, you know, and they might be having a bad day. So, but this, it's all reported in these two things. So when the public gets it, you're getting, my guess is you're getting GLP. Now, here's the difference. 2013-14, CCR, I took out reading grade 3. Black, 30.4% were proficient. 69.6% were not proficient. We jumped to GLP, and it goes from 30.4 to 43.4. So there's a 13-point giveaway, which reduces the number of non-performing black third graders statewide to 56%. And you still got, even under that one, 45% aren't reading. Hispanics, 68% non-proficient with CCR, and they were only 55% non-proficient with reading. Whites, 66.1. So that's terrible, too. 38.9% non-proficient. And over here, it goes to 26.9. There's a 12-point difference. It looks so much better. Reading in the Act, the benchmarks, how many children reached the reading benchmark? Black, 12.0. Hispanic, 18.6. And white, 41.2. These are children who finished high school, 11th graders, and hell, they can't read. Math, black 10.5, Hispanic 17.2, white 38.8. Science, black 6.8, Hispanic 12.2, whites 31.8. I've got math, and I pull down grade 8, reading, and grade 8, math. Here's the reading. Remember the black 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 30.4. They get to the 8th grade, it was 24.4. Hispanics dropped to 29.3. Whites at 54. They dropped 7 points in that period of time, which meant you're not reading, you're not able to learn and read at the same time. And I've got it for every year through 2020, and then I'm gonna quit reading you this stuff. But once you understand CCR and GLP and what the tests are, this will give you the picture. And you can get this from every single school. 2021, CCR, reading, black 17.7. That's still Hispanics 20.0, whites 46.7. GLP jumped from 17% for black to 27.8. Hispanics went 10 points from 20 to 30. Whites went from 46 to 49, 13 points. That's 2021. So there's no, essentially, it's still over 80%. And we get to the ACT. Reading, blacks 13.9 made the benchmark. Hispanics 20.0. Whites only 44.6. Science, black 4.6. Math 7.1. Hispanics 11.2. In science and math, 12. Whites, 32.8 and 32.3 and 44.6 in reading, which means 60% of the white 11th graders ain't reading. They can't even make the benchmark. Blacks and Hispanics, same thing. So I took you from 2013 to 14. I've got all the data. And so when you get to me and say, we need more money, this isn't money. This is because it's a failure of classroom instruction. If the teachers were teaching children who knew how to read, their grades would be, they'd be grade level, but they're not. The data doesn't lie. They just don't want you to see the data. So that's the story.
Perfect, yeah.
Got any questions?
I think that takes us through everything pretty well. I know we've got some time constraints.
I know so, you do.
Yeah, I
know.
But it's,
well, I'm sorry I took too long.
No, I feel like that goes through what we wanted to cover, just the history and your views on it and everything. So let me just do a quick outro then.
Yeah,
just,
whatever you'd like to.
Judge, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Well, I did too, and I hope some people listen to it and learn what the truth is, what the data is. The problem with why do we have so many at-risk children? Because these irresponsible adults, if they can call them adults, are just having children for the fun of it. Do you know what it costs us? I found this out from the Senate staff through DHHS. Pre-COVID, it was costing North Carolina between $100 and the federal government pays this, Medicaid, for births, hospital costs of births for unwed, and then 3 months postpartum care, which today has been expanded to a year, which is good, between $160 million and $180 million a year. If we had that money applied to classroom instruction, it would be, things would be better. But this science of reading and the phonic stuff that the superintendent, the legislature passed, and Superintendent Truitt's doing is going to work. And we're paying for that. We've already spent that money. That money's been spent. So you can hate me all you want to, folks, but I'm not changing my mind. Have a great day.
Stay tuned for our next episode of Extreme Injustice, Stolen Time. Extreme Injustice is an investigation series from the Carolina Journal, the media project of the John Locke Foundation. Visit carolinajournal.com today and sign up for our free email newsletter to stay up to date on news from the state capitol and how it impacts your business, home, and community.